Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien and Chris Sullivan. There's a big debate going on, of course, about COVID and vaccines, but there's one thing you can't debate, and that's the reality of the ICUs around the country. A year and a half into this pandemic, medical professionals, who are notoriously camera shy and protective of their patients, are now letting journalists inside local hospitals. And they're doing it because they're desperate to get the word out. They're desperate for us to hear what it's like there.
Just knowing that you did everything and it wasn't enough. And then at the end of the day, you zip up the bag and you have to go home and try to pretend life's okay.
KXLY-TV's Robin Nance has a special report from Providence Sacred Heart Medical Center in Spokane.
So we just brought a woman in her early 70s up from the emergency room. She had been waiting in the emergency room for 16 hours, and because we didn't have a bed available, we just now got her up, and she has to be emergently intubated, meaning they're going to put in a breathing tube to help her breathe.
Deb Gillette has been a nurse for 9 years and is the ICU nurse manager. For the past 18 months, she's led a team through the unimaginable.
So we have 54 beds for adult critical care at Sacred Heart. 26 are in our general medical neurotrauma ICU, and 28 are in our cardiac ICU. But we have had to use the cardiac ICU beds also for COVID patients.
Now upstairs on some of our medical floors, we have patients that would have met ICU criteria weeks ago, right? They're maxed out on the settings and all that they can do upstairs. They would have been brought down already. So then you reach a very difficult decision, right? Who comes down? Who gets the bed? When and why, right? We also reached a situation where we were left one ventilator in the hospital. So then again, who gets the vent, right?
Who makes those difficult decisions? A group of providers. Jeremy says he's just glad he isn't one of them. Keeping these rooms and this unit staffed is Deb's job. She's working with caregivers who are pushed to their limits more than ever.
Today we were short maybe 9 critical care nurses to start. We had staff here for 16 hours. They are exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. It's very draining. And we just want to feel like it could get better.
You can hear that exhaustion and frustration in the voices of these nurses. Jeremy Mullavy.
Seems like in the community, people are still not believing that this is real. We see people die all the time here.
Emily Cruz.
It's hard. It makes you sad. It makes you mad. But sometimes it makes you just feel numb.
And Eric Definitely. Custer.
That's really hard when you're doing a Zoom meeting with 15 people and they're watching their loved one pass away.
These three love their jobs as ICU nurses, but are starting to lose hope.
Statistics are horrible. You know, if you're intubated with COVID, your chances of survival are very, very small.
The young people, the people with families, with lives like my own, who went to work every day and are never going to go home to their kids, their moms, and their dogs. And just knowing that you did everything and it wasn't enough. And then at the end of the day, you zip up the bag and you have to go home and try to pretend life's okay.
Ended my day putting two patients in body bags, right? And the family of one of these patients still didn't believe that this was real.
The vaccine is our hope. The more people that get vaccinated, the less patients that we have in the hospital.
And reporter Robin Nance joins us now from KXLY in Spokane. Robin, the ICUs always have, of course, the patients that are basically on some form of life support. What makes it, why has COVID made this so different for them?
Well, Dave, they're overrun with COVID patients, and the patients that they're seeing need more, basically, equipment than what the hospital is normally used to. So many more patients are ending up on ventilators, and they need those negative airflow rooms, which I talk about also in my story. Those negative airflow rooms take special fans, special HEPA filters, and basically they don't allow any air to come out. So if the nurses are going in and out and they open the door, none of the air comes out. It's kind of suctioned back in and then filtered out of the room. and there just aren't a ton of those rooms. And also, not all rooms are even available to do that. So in the hospital, some of those rooms are don't have windows. So they're like on an inner, kind of in an inner.
Well, that sounded pretty final.
Lost Robin. Yeah, we can try to call her back and get her. But what I was going to ask her, and something that we picked up, because her whole report is 12 and a half minutes. We only played a portion of it. And you can find the full 12 and a half minute report on KXOY.com. And you should watch it because there's so much information there, including this idea that they've got critical care patients in the hospital who then have exhausted all resources that they could do in the critical care unit and need to go to the ICU, but there's no room. And so you heard that nurse say, I'm glad I don't have to decide who gets that one room or who gets that one ventilator. And I'm curious, who is the person that decides? Is it the chief of medicine? And if you're a patient or if you have a family member in the hospital and that's the situation we're facing, what questions do you ask to make sure that your family member is going to get that care that they need in the ICU? Or are they going to be left to suffer and possibly die because there is no room? Also, how many of those patients in the ICU she witnessed, Robin witnessed, are unvaccinated? Because you heard the nurses say at the end, the vaccine is our hope. And if everybody in that ICU is unvaccinated and the person in critical care is vaccinated, right, is that part of the decision of sending them down and giving them a bed? So, yeah, we're in a situation, too, where in Spokane, right next to Idaho, it's a 20-minute drive, if I remember correctly, North Idaho patients are coming over to Washington and using that space. And North Idaho notoriously does not have any mask requirements, very anti-vaccine. Sully, you've driven through North Idaho to get to Montana. You know this. No masks are being worn.
None.
Yet they're
None.
Using our resources and stopping Washington patients from getting the care they need. What do you do about that?
Yeah.
You can't deny people at the door.
I know in some of the reports I've heard from around the country, what makes this particularly frustrating for people, for the nurses in the ICU, is that they have this feeling that they are treating people who really wouldn't have needed the treatment at all had they gotten the vaccine. That's got them frustrated. We have Robin back now. So what happens? Colleen was asking, who makes the decision when there's just no beds? We heard the story of a kid who had a ruptured appendix and just sat outside for hours waiting for a bed. Have you seen situations like that in Spokane?
Well, we haven't heard, I have not at least heard specifically of those situations, but as Jeremy was saying in the story that Nurse Jeremy Malady was talking about, how it's not just one person making those decisions. It's a group of providers, it's a group of doctors and kind of a board that make those decisions on who they triage, I guess, you know, who is the most desperate for care. And once a lot of those patients are in the ICU, they don't leave for a long time. So those beds aren't freed up very, you know, frequently. So they're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And what's it like between, hi, Robin, by the way, I used to work with Robin. So
hi
Robin, what's the
We're
sentiment?
All friends.
Yeah. What's the sentiment like between, you know, Spokaneites and those in North Idaho because of all the North Idaho anti-maskers, anti-vacciners coming over and taking that care from Washington hospitals?
Well, you know, we have our own anti-masking and anti-vaccine here. So, you know, it's just because there's a border doesn't mean that it just stops at the border. There is, you know, it kind of depends on where you're tuning in and who you're listening to. There is fear that, you know, Washington needs the beds for Washingtonians. And that's kind of even what the governor has said, like Idaho, asking Idaho, get it together, neighbors, because we can't take care of you. We've got to take care of our own people. And then Idaho, of course, just went into the entire state going into crisis standards of care, meaning they are so short of beds that they can't, you know, take care of all the people that need taken care of there. So it really is. Our system is taxed, no doubt about it.
What about the patients you witnessed during your visit at the hospital? Were they vaccinated, those patients in the ICU?
You know, not very many. We asked specifically, and they, of course, wouldn't walk down and say, this person is, this person isn't, but they said very rarely do they have vaccinated people in their ICUs.
Jeez.
Robin Nance, full report at KXLY.com. Robin, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, guys.